Welcome to Trinity.
In the season of Thanksgiving, we're thankful that you've joined us today.
Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and welcome to all of you who are watching this at home. And I need to say today, Happy New Year, which I know it seems kind of strange to say that at the end of November, but this is a new season, and it's a new church year. Our church year begins with the season of Advent. And so here in the first Sunday in Advent, we are celebrating a new year. And this whole sanctuary is nice and beautifully decorated, and we really give thanks to our school board for setting that up for us last night and being here to take care of all that. And today we are also thankful that our chime choir is here, and they're going to be enhancing our worship with music and song as well. Today we are going to be using Divine Service Setting 1 for our liturgy, and that begins on page 151. I invite you to please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn now to the inside cover of the bulletin, and we speak responsively the words of the introit. Behold, your King is coming to you. Who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout. Who exult in your name all the day. For our shield belongs to the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Behold, your King is coming to you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. During the season of Advent, we omit the Gloria in Excelsis, which is the song of the angels at Christmas. So until we get to Christmas, we put that canticle away. And instead, we will now turn to our Advent hymn. We're going to sing number 332, verses 1, 2, and 8. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Over the years, the lighting of the candles of the Advent wreath has been a custom in the churches and homes of God's people. Each Sunday in Advent has a candle, and each candle has been traditionally assigned a meaning that is appropriate for the Advent season. The first candle of our Advent wreath is called the prophecy candle. As we begin this Advent season, we are reminded that the coming of the Christ is the fulfillment of God's prophetic word. Even in the darkness of life's chaos and confusion, the light of God's promise shines forth brightly. The prophecy candle assures us that in the coming of Jesus Christ, our God does keep his word. And so at this time, I'm going to invite our acolyte to light the first candle, the prophecy candle. The Old Testament reading, appointed for the first Sunday in Advent, is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 33, beginning with verse 14. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David. And he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We now speak the words of the gradual. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming to you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Our epistle reading today is from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 3, beginning with verse 9. What thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith? Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. When Jesus had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.' This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. This morning we confess the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for our sermon today is going to be the gospel reading, which we just heard from Luke chapter 19. It's the story of Jesus arriving into Jerusalem on a donkey on Palm Sunday, which I know seems like a strange time of year to be thinking about something like this, But during this season of Advent, it's really all about our King coming to us. So it fits in very well. We think about the King being born on Christmas and coming to us in that way. We think about during Advent, the King who comes to us even now through the Word and the sacraments. And of course, we're always looking forward to the King coming again on the last day. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, since it's a new church year, you know what they say, new year, new you, right? So I decided that it might be nice for us to do something a little bit different, even at the risk of making some of the good Lutherans in the room a little nervous about things changing a little bit too much, right? But I thought, since this is the season of Advent, and Advent begins what we call sometimes the festival half of the church year, we could do something festive today. So we call it the festival half of the church year because basically starting today and lasting all the way through the end of the Easter season, so from now until like the end of May, we are just going to be having one celebration after the other after the other. You walk in the church today and you see all the decorations, you just know things are feeling different here today. And so what do Lutherans do when we celebrate? We sing, right? Some of you were thinking drink beer, weren't you? Well, sometimes we do that too, but not on Sunday morning in church, right? Yeah, we sing. Lutherans sing. So I thought maybe one thing we could do would be sort of like a deep dive into the hymns that we sing at this time of year. So during these Sundays in Advent, we're going to be having our sermons kind of interweaving with our music, with our hymns. And so that's why, in case you were wondering why we just went right from the Creed into the sermon today, it's not because I forgot about the sermon hymn, but it's because I thought instead of just singing the hymn and then having the sermon, we can kind of sing the hymn while we're having the sermon. So we're going to sort of interweave the verses into the message today. And so what you're going to need then is your hymnal. So if you want to grab your hymnal from in front of you, and today our meditation is going to be hymn number 331, which is the very first hymn in the hymnal, number 331. And those of you who are watching this at home, Miss Francie is up in the balcony. She's going to make sure that the words end up on the screen for you, hopefully. But everybody else who's here, you're just going to have to kind of keep your finger or your bookmark there at hymn 331. We're going to keep coming back to that throughout the sermon today. Before we get into the actual words of the hymn, this is the hymn, The Advent of Our King. But before we get into the actual words, I want to just give you some notes about the background of the hymn. So this hymn was originally a French Catholic hymn that was written in the 1700s. And this was a hymn when it originally became popular to be used in the church. It was something that was sung during the Advent season, obviously, the Advent of our King. It was sung early in the morning at the service that we all know as Matins. So this was the morning service during Advent. They would sing the Advent of our King. This hymn was written by a man named Charles Coffin. It kind of looks like coffin, but it's pronounced Coffin, right? You got to do it with a French accent, which I do a terrible job of. But this man was a French poet, and he also happened to be the rector at the University of Paris, which is just a fancy way of saying he was like their campus pastor. So he was in charge of all of the worship that would take place at the University of Paris. So being a pastor and being a poet, he ended up writing a whole bunch of hymns. We have this one, The Advent of Our King, but we also have another one in our Advent section of the hymnal as well. He also wrote the hymn that you know as On Jordan's Bank, the Baptists Cry. So he wrote both of those. He also wrote a bunch of poetry that had nothing to do with the church, and they weren't hymns at all. I found out in my research that Monsieur Coffin was a real connoisseur of wine, and he once published an ode to champagne. So there you go. But kind of interesting guy. But this hymn, I chose this hymn today because it really goes along well with our gospel reading and ties in these themes of both Advent, preparing for Christmas, but also Palm Sunday and everything that was going on as Jesus rides triumphantly into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey's colt. So we're going to take our first little pause now, and what I want to do is we're going to sing just the first two stanzas. So stanzas 1 and 2 of the Advent of our King. The advent of our King, our prayers must now employ. Ready or not, Christmas is coming. I know it's still November, right? But the big day is going to be here before you know it. There's nothing that you and I can do to stop it. We cannot control the flow of time. You've only got 27 shopping days left before the big day, right? You don't want to be left unprepared. I think it's fair to say that a lot of people feel a lot of extra pressure at this time of the year. And even if you're the type of person who absolutely loves this season, right? It's like your most favorite time of the year ever. There's still always the potential that we can get a little bit stressed out and maybe a little bit anxious as we are waiting for December 25th to arrive. Now, for us here at church, the season of Advent shifts in its focus because, yes, we are waiting for Christmas to come like everybody else, but it's not ultimately about the coming of Christmas Day, right? For us, it's really about the coming of Christ. The advent of our King would be another way to say that, right? If there's anything that we can learn from this passage in Luke 19 where Jesus arrives in Jerusalem triumphantly on a donkey, it's when we're talking about the coming of Christ, the advent of our King, we know that he is the one who is in charge. He is in control. It's like the first line of stanza 2 says, the everlasting Son incarnate deigns to be. He is the everlasting Son of the Father. He is true God. And so he is the one who does control the flow of time. And he is the one who orchestrates all of the little details that take place on Palm Sunday. So we see that in the passage when the disciples are going to go and they're going to find the colt tied up just exactly the way that Jesus says it's going to be, right? Because he's the one that's planning and preparing it all. You see this with the fact that it's like a little minor detail in the passage, but the fact that this donkey's colt has never been ridden before. That's actually a pretty significant detail. That goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Animals that had never been used were often chosen for holy purposes in the Old Testament. So Jesus makes sure that detail is taken care of. When they finally bring this animal to Jesus, they are throwing garments onto the colt. They're throwing garments on the road as he's walking along, riding along, right? And that's significant too because that's something that they always would do for royalty. That was something they would do for a king. And so, like I said, everything was coming together perfectly for this holy King Jesus to arrive in Jerusalem. The Christ himself is coming, the advent of our King. But as holy and as powerful as he is, that second stanza of the hymn also brings out the fact that he comes in humility as well. Himself a servant's form puts on to set his servants free. The whole Palm Sunday scene is really a fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy in chapter 9, where he says, "Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey." Humble. Just like he was when he came to be born at the very first Christmas. Humble. Laid in a manger in Bethlehem. Humble. Raised by a carpenter in little small town Nazareth. Humble. And then, of course, eventually coming into the city where he would die a humiliating death upon the cross for you and for me. Humble. Okay, let's sing stanza 3. So in that verse, you can see how, as the holy and humble King Jesus makes his way to us, basically there's two different responses that a person can have, and there's really no middle ground there. You can either be like Zion's daughter and rise to meet this lowly king because you have faith in him, or you can have a faithless heart that despises the peace that he comes to bring. And you probably noticed when I was reading the gospel passage earlier that those two different reactions to Jesus are fully on display right here in this passage, right? As in verse 37 of our text, Jesus starts making his way down the Mount of Olives, and all of a sudden everybody can see him, and you have these disciples and believers, and they are so excited to see Jesus riding into the city, right? And they are shouting, they're rejoicing, they're praising God. And this is actually one of the places in Scripture where I do like to point out the Greek. I try not to do that very often because I know it's kind of annoying to hear pastors always saying, "Oh, check the Greek, check the Greek." But this is actually a really cool thing. So it says in this passage that they are rejoicing and praising God, quote, "with a loud voice." In Greek, to say loud voice or strong sound, you have to say megaphone. Right? Megaphone. Like, so in English, it's like megaphone, right? It's like, "Hey, Jesus is coming," right? It's like everybody has this, it's like a bullhorn, right? They're shouting, they're praising God. Megaphone, megaphone. And so they're out there, and what are they shouting? Here's where you have another really cool connection between Palm Sunday and Christmas. What are they shouting? It says, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." What does that sound like? It sounds like the angels, doesn't it? The angels who appeared to the shepherds as they were keeping watch over their fields, their flocks at night, right? They come out there and they say, "Peace in heaven, glory in the highest." The angels sing, "Gloria in excelsis, gloria, glory in the highest. Peace on earth, mercy mild, God and sinners once again are about to be reconciled," during Holy Week, right? What was true at the manger is also true at the cross. But, of course, in contrast to all of these great shouts of joy, you've got here at the very end of the passage, everybody's favorite bubble bursters appear, right? So here's the Pharisees, and they're not shouting for joy. They want Jesus to keep his disciples quiet, right? They want silence. They don't want to hear about the advent of our king. They don't want to hear about him showing up because they have faithless hearts. And just like our hymn stanza suggests, faithless hearts despise the peace that King Jesus comes to bring. Now, that being said, if you and I are being honest with ourselves, I think there are times when we do tend to be a little bit like the Pharisees And what I mean by that is sometimes there are times when sin tries to make us put the megaphone away, right? And tries to get us to just kind of quiet down about who Jesus is in our lives. I think that happens maybe especially at a time of the year like this where we are so potentially overwhelmed with all of these other things that are going on in our lives. Sometimes that can steal that joy away from us and make us to not want to shout out and rejoice and praise God. But see, it's at a time like this when we especially need the peace that King Jesus comes to bring. If we're going to rise and meet our lowly King, we need to meet him where he is, right? Where he's promised to be. That's one of the reasons why it's so great to come to church at this time of year. Because this can be a sanctuary, a shelter from all of the hustle and bustle that's going on all around us. All right, let's sing stanzas 4 and 5. Ultimately, those two verses are what this whole Advent season is really all about. I mean, like I said before, we get really excited to celebrate Christmas every year, and for very good reason, but every single Advent of our King is there to prepare us for the next Advent of our King, right? So we have the first Advent of Jesus coming to be born as a little child, but that's only the beginning. Right? That child grows up and has a wonderful, amazing ministry here on earth where he touches the lives of countless people. And then, of course, that leads him to where we are in Luke 19, Palm Sunday, and that in turn leads Jesus to Good Friday, where he sacrifices himself for the sins of the world, right? So the King comes, but the King comes to die. To be our servant, to pay the price for our sins. And as he's raised from the dead and ascends into heaven, King Jesus tells his disciples that there is another Advent coming, that the final Advent will be even greater than any of the Advents before. If we think that the megaphone of the disciples shouting on Palm Sunday is a big deal, that's nothing in comparison to the kinds of shouting of triumph and victory that's going to take place on the last day. And just like the fifth verse there encourages us to do, as we wait for that great day to come, we do strive to put away all of sin's dark deeds in our lives and all of our sinful selves. While, of course, there's going to be times when we fail, and we have our misplaced priorities and distractions, not just at Christmas time, but really all year long. We know that on the day of King Jesus' return, on the day of the advent of our King, all of that stuff is going to be gone forever. We're going to see him as judge on clouds of light, like it says. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is our Lord and our King, who is going to reign over us in love forever and ever. So we sing praises to the name of our King, and we conclude then with our final verse. And this one is a Trinitarian verse, so I'm going to have you guys stand as we sing together verse 6.
Thank you.
To God alone be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We have a few updates to our prayer list today. Wanted to mention that Carolyn Hoogie, we continue to pray for her. She has now been moved up to Jacksonville, Illinois, and she is in a rehab program at the hospital up there. We are also continuing to pray for Lorna Grody. She is now recovering at home after her recent gallbladder surgery. We continue to pray for John Seifert. He had a couple of stents placed in his heart, still working with doctors to come up with a plan for his legs. Also, we are going to remember today the family of Adam Banks. That is the brother of Celeste Reeder. Adam passed away on November 19th. Finally, we give thanks and praise today for the marriage of Elliot and Rachel Palm. They were married at the end of October in a small ceremony. They were able to have a big celebration here in Hoyleton yesterday. Let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. To you, O Lord, we lift up our souls, and in you we put our trust. Sustain us by your Holy Spirit, that we may have joy at the advent of King Jesus, our Savior. Lord, in your mercy, we praise you, O Lord of hosts. You have fulfilled your promise of salvation by sending Jesus to suffer your wrath on the cross, that we might be declared righteous in your sight. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, bless pastors in their proclamation of your word, and preserve us in our baptismal grace, that your Son might always be our righteousness. Be with all of our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and also our sister Lutheran congregation, Bethlehem Lutheran in Farron, and their pastor Jonathan Jennings. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all, your Son declared that if his disciples ceased praising him, the very stones would cry out. Receive our thanks that you continue to preserve your word among us. Even in a world that opposes your name, grant us tongues that joyfully declare your praise. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our King, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne, and steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Watch over the authorities of our land and grant that they govern justly, so that we may live in peace as we proclaim your love and faithfulness. Bless those who serve in the armed forces of our nation, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, and Lucas. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for all of your great blessings to us. We ask that you would continue to show us your favor, grant favorable weather to us, and protect those who continue to work in the fields. We also rejoice today with those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Charlene, AJ, Eileen, Riley, Aiden, Katie, Elijah, Vicky, and Kathy. Continue to shower them with your love and grace. We also praise you for the gift of marriage. We ask you to bless those couples who are celebrating special anniversaries, including Keith and Candace Hazeman. And we also lift before you Elliot and Rachel Palm, whom you have united in marriage. Bless them mightily in the years to come. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks to you, O God, that as you establish our hearts blameless in holiness before you, so you also provide for all our needs in this body and life. Hear our earnest prayers for those who are in need of your mercy, especially those who are on our prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Nancy, Carolyn, Thretta, Ferris, Wilfred, Bill, Richard, Helen, Esther, Bessie, and Brian. We lift before you those who have been hospitalized, especially Carissa and Jacob, those who are recovering from recent surgeries, including Lorna and John, and those with ongoing health needs and concerns, Mike, Fran, Marvin, Amy, Beulah, Steve, Wayne, Art, Carlene, Andrea, Alma, Jim, Mike, Orville, Nina, Linda, Marvin, Chris, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Gretchen, and all those who are fighting cancer. We also ask you, Lord, to comfort all who mourn, including the family and friends of Adam Banks, until the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, you declared that the days were coming when you would accomplish our salvation. And in your time, you caused your Son, the righteous branch, to spring up for David. By your grace, keep us joined as branches to Christ, that we might bear fruit until the day he returns in glory. For he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. At this time, I will invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. And this being the second of our debt reduction Lord of the Harvest Sundays, if you brought that special envelope with you, you may place it in the offering plate at this time. It's so good to hear the chimes again. Please stand. We now turn to the offertory, which is found beginning at the bottom of page 159. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. We turn now to our closing hymn, number 341. Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates. Thank you. Good morning. Thanks again to the Chimes for playing for us today. We really appreciate you being here. And the first announcement is you've got rehearsal tomorrow night. So 6 o'clock. And Finance Board is meeting tomorrow as well. I wanted to make sure that everybody knew we're having our Advent midweek worship services again this year, Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. It's going to be, we're calling it Comfort and Joy, and we're going to continue this hymn theme, this song theme. So just kind of like what we did today in the sermon, we're going to do something similar this Wednesday. Comfort will be Comfort, Comfort, Ye My People. Next Wednesday, with Joy, will be Joy to the World. So we hope that you can join us 7 o'clock on these Wednesdays. Also, something I wanted to mention in the bulletin, it says that there is a youth night next Sunday, but that is not true. There is no youth night next Sunday. 2 Sundays from now, December 12th, is going to be the night that our youth are planning to go caroling. And we're really excited about this. So we're going to be starting at about 4:30 or so. And the plan is to go caroling pretty much around town and some other locations that are close to town. We're not able to go to nursing homes this year because some of them are still a little bit more cautious with who's allowed to come in and out. So we'll be sticking around locally. If you or somebody you know could use some maybe cheering up during the season and you would like us to come and carol at your place, please let us know about that. We would love to make that happen. In case you missed last week's announcement, there's still time to purchase a yard sign for the Christmas season. So these were developed by our sister congregation in Nashville, Trinity in Nashville. They have this vision that a lot of us Lutherans could put these out in front of our houses, and so all over the county, people have the same signs out there, kind of similar to what we did with those Easter crosses a few years ago. These signs can be purchased for $15. So if you can't read it, the verse above is Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God," of course, with the Christ child laying in the manger. If you would like to purchase one of these, we need to know that by this Wednesday, December 1st. And then they are planning to print these, have them all made over the weekend, and we should have them available next Sunday, the 5th, so you can put them out for the whole rest of the month then. But please let us know by Wednesday if you would like one. You can bring your payment to our church and school office and give that to Jane Michael. I believe those are all the announcements. Did I miss anything? Okay, if not, then have a great rest of your day. God's blessings to you. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It's harvest time. Hi, I'm Deb Holly with a message from Trinity's Stewardship Committee. It says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and on, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you may abound in every good work." I heard a pastor on the radio once say that you can't outgive God because it's all His anyway. That got me to thinking, and I was wondering if I was giving out of what I thought my budget could handle. And if that was the case, I was thinking maybe I wasn't putting God first. So Ron and I decided that we would double our usual giving. And it's now November, and it's harvest time, and we haven't missed that extra money yet. So You may have recently received a letter from the elders about the financial situation at Trinity and how we have some debt, and to give it some thought, if you can donate to this, the Lord of the Harvest Debt Reduction Program is what it's called. Harvest time is a great time to think about your situation. God continues to shower us with abundant blessings, despite the world around us. Daily, He offers us His emotional love, His eternal love, His eternal hope, eternal peace, and most of all, His eternal friendship. How can we give back to Him today? To Him alone be the glory. Bye-bye.